Praise the Lord.
Love God is so radio. Good.
God is so good. His mercy endures forever. Tonight's the night that we thank God for everything he's done. And we have our blessed apostle and pastor on with a young lady who's going to be on tonight. So are you there, apostle?
Yes, I am. How's it going, Apostle Hunter?
Oh, I tell you, I'm just blessed. I don't have no complaints.
God is good.
He's good. And we just want to praise the holy name.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He's worthy of praise.
Yes, indeed. I know God's given you a word. Do you have a word for us tonight?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do, Apostle.
All right. Good to see
you. Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another day. I'm Dr. John Newsom. I'm the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center Church International at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive. I'm glad to be on the air tonight. I know God has a word for you. The message, the topic. Well, let's go to, first of all, let's turn to Revelation chapter 4. I give you the scripture first. Revelation chapter 4. In verse 1. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. It says, after these things I looked, and behold, a gate opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, I'm reading out of the Aramaic English New Testament. After these things, I looked, and behold, a gate opened in heaven. This brother is getting a glimpse into heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as of a shofar talking with me. It said, come up here, and I will show you the things that must occur afterwards. So God said, come up here, and I will show you things that must occur afterwards. Come up here. Come up here. The message God has given me for you tonight is rising to another level. Rising to another level. There's things that God wants to do for us. There's things that God wants to show us. You know, the Holy Spirit says he shows us things to come. There's things he wants to do toward us, do for us, show us. But he says in order for him to do that, we're going to have to come up to his level, come up to him, do things his way, look at things the way he looks at things, obey his word, come up. He said, he told the brother right here in Revelation, he said, you got to come up here, and I got some things I want to show you that's going to happen afterwards. Rising to another level. God wants us to come up to another level. There's some things, those who are watching, listening through radio, there's some things that God wants to do for you. But he says you're going to have to come up to his standard of living. Come up. And so we're going to look at how we can go up to another level. The message is rising to another level. You know what, God is always, you know, he's the God of promotion. He says promotion doesn't come from the east or the west, but promotion comes from the Lord. You know, he's always looking for us to come up to another level. Now, how are we going to rise to another level? That's what we're going to look at tonight. Number one, we're going to have to please people. Now, I know that, You know what we've heard throughout the years, you know what, don't be a people pleaser and you know what, all that. But, you know, but God says just the opposite. God wants us pleasing people. We're going to have to please people in order to go up, to rise to another level. We're going to have to please people. God uses people. He uses people. He loves people, all people. And he wants us to please people. We're talking about rising to another level. How are we going to rise to another level? Well, we're number one, by pleasing people. Look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. It's a good thing to please people. Rising to another level. We're going to have to begin to please people. Please people. Romans chapter 15, look at verses 1 and 2. He says, when they that are strong ought to, we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Amen. And not to please ourselves. We're not just to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification. There it is, right there. God wants us to be people pleasers. He wants us to please people. He wants us to build up people and edify people, not envy people, not be jealous of people, not hate on people, but he wants us to please people. We're to be people pleasers. And that please right there, God is talking about rendering service. Rendering service to others, serving others. You know, Jesus said the greatest in the kingdom of God is the servant. The servant. So we are to serve others, to please others, not hate on them, not talk about them, not put them down, not try to... You know, dog other people out, but we're to please people. We're to render service to people. Look at Philippians chapter 2. So it's in the Word. So we need to stop saying that, hey, no, we don't need to be people pleasers. Yes, we do. You just read it. God wants us to please our neighbors. Who's our neighbor? Everybody. Everybody, other people, they're our neighbors. And God says to please them, edify them, build them up. We're talking about rising to another level and how we're going to rise to another level, what we must do in order to rise to another level. God has, he said he takes us from faith to faith, from glory to glory. God has another level for us. We should always be evolving. We should always be increasing. We should always be looking to go up higher. And number one, the way we're going to go to another level is by pleasing people. Pleasing people. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and look at verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We're not just to be look out for ourselves, but we're to look out for other people. We're talking about rising to another level, and how we're going to do that. Number one, by pleasing people. You never know. You never know who you're going to need one day. God uses people. You never know. We need to stop cutting off people. God uses people. You're one person away from going to the next level. I remember there was a pastor years ago that we didn't get along too good together. We didn't get along with each other too well. But I just didn't cut him off because God told me to stop doing that. You just can't be cutting people off. You can't cut everybody off. God uses people. Sure, God uses animals. Sure, God uses animals to intervene and take care of us and to do things in our life. He used a raven to feed Elijah, but he uses people also. He uses people. He uses angels. Of course he uses angels, but he uses people. And so if we're just cutting off people, cutting people out of our lives, trying to ignore people, not wanting to be involved with people, you could be hindering yourself. You could be hindering yourself from being taken to the next level. God has people with power and influence in place to help you get to the next level. Are you hating on them? Are you envying them? Are you being jealous of them? Are you looking out for their best interest? Are you pleasing them? Are you doing good to them? We're talking about rising to another level. This message will help you. This is a life-changing message. I know it will help you. It's coming straight from the Word of God. It's helped me. You'll go to another level if you begin to please people. Number two, we need to help those reaching for help. We need to help those reaching for help. Don't waste your time trying to help those who don't want to be helped. Sometimes we waste a whole lot of time as being pastors and ministers or just Christians in general, trying to help people that don't want to be helped. We don't need to waste our time trying to help those who don't want to be helped. Because when we do that, we're keeping those who really want and need our help out of our life. So we need to help those reachers, those who are reaching out for help. We need to focus on them and help them, not the ones who don't want any help. You're wasting your time trying to help the non-reacher. We need to help those who are reaching out for help. When you waste your time trying to help those who don't really want to be helped, you're keeping out of your life those who want help and need your help. You're keeping them out of your life. We need to help those who are reaching for help. Jesus, Yeshua, he helped those who were reaching for help. He helped those who really wanted help. He didn't waste a whole lot of time with those who didn't want to be helped. I remember the disciples, they were went into one town and they didn't accept him. What did Jesus tell them to do? Jesus said, knock the what? Dust off your feet and move on to the next town. He didn't say that, stay there and keep trying anyhow. No, he didn't say that. He said, knock the dust off your feet and move on to the next town. See, we have to help those who are reaching for help, those who want to be helped. Don't waste your time trying to help people who don't want to be helped. I remember there was an old woman, and she was sick. And I reached out my hands to lay hands on this old woman to pray for her. And she said, no, young man, don't pray for me. I'm ready to go. She was an old woman, and her husband had died, and she was ready to go on and be with her husband. So I didn't pray for her. I would have been wasting my time praying for her, God, to heal her body and to cause her to recover. I would have been wasting my time. This woman was ready to go. She didn't want to be alive anymore. She didn't want to be on this earth anymore. So I moved on. Don't waste your time trying to reach and help those. Don't waste your time trying to help those who don't want to be helped. Jesus said one time, he said, don't cast your pearls to the swine. They'll trample on it. Some people just don't want your help. We got to help the reachers. We got to help those who are reaching out for help. Jesus did it. Look in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus helped the reachers. He helped those who wanted help. That's what we got to do. You're keeping those out of your life who really won't help when you're busy trying to help someone who don't want to be helped. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verses 7 through 11. Look what Jesus said. He said, ask, and it shall be given unto you. What is he saying? Reach for him. Ask. He says, seek. What? There it is again. What is the seek? When he says seek, you're what? You're reaching for him. He says, seek, and ye shall find. You see, God helps the reachers, not the non-reacher. He helps those who are reaching out to him for help. Here he says, ask and it shall be given unto you. He says, seek and you shall find. Look, he says, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Those are reachers. Jesus helps the reachers. We need to focus on helping the reachers. Don't waste your time trying to help people who don't want to be helped. Go out. There are plenty of people reaching out for help. There are plenty of people reaching out for help. Help the reachers. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. You can't even teach a person. You can't even teach a person who don't want to be taught. You're wasting your time. I don't waste my time trying to teach the word of God to someone who don't want to be taught. I don't do that because I know it's a waste of time. They're not going to hear me. They don't want to hear me. I'm going to show you that in the Word. I'm going to show you a person in the Bible. He was in the church. He was in the midst of the congregation. I'm going to show you in the Word. I'm going to back it up. This person was in the midst of the congregation. He was in church. He was in the assembly. But this person was not, he was resisting instruction from the teacher, from the pastor. He wasn't accepting anything that was being said. See, someone can be in the church, but his mind way somewhere else. He's there for other reasons. You can't teach people like that. You can't teach people who don't want to be taught. You're wasting your time. Teach the reachers. Help those who are reaching out for help. Don't waste your time trying to help those who don't want to be helped. God, he makes everything that he came to earth to do. He makes all the blessings and all the good things. He makes them available to everybody. He has made them available to everyone. But don't you know, everyone won't accept. Everybody won't accept. Some people don't even accept him as Lord and Savior. Some people don't even accept salvation, eternal life with him. But he's made it available to everyone. But not everyone is going to accept. You got to knock the dust off your feet and move on to the next person. Knock the dust off your shoes and keep on, go on to the next person. Help those who are reaching for help. Help those who want to be helped. Look at Proverbs chapter 5. I'm going to show you this brother. He was in the congregation and not paying. He wasn't accepting anything that was being said. You'll be destroyed. Let me show you. I just go to the Word. Proverbs chapter 5. Look at verses 10 through 14. The scripture says, Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction? Look at that. This person hated instruction, and because this person hated instruction, strangers, God says your wealth will go over to strangers, the heathen. He says that you would mourn, and your wealth will go over to strangers. Strangers will be living in your house. Strangers will be driving your car. The heathen, You'll lose things when you don't want to accept instruction. Look at verse 12. And say, how have I hated instruction? And my heart despised reproof. There are some people who just hate instruction. They don't want to hear the word of God. They don't want to be taught. And they don't want to be corrected. They don't want to find out the right way to live and to do things. They despise it. They belittle it. Look what verse 13 says. And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation. This person was inside of the church and assembly. This person was in church, but rejecting what was being taught, not accepting instruction, not accepting a correction, reproof, not accepting the right way to live. You see, not everyone is looking for your help. So you don't waste your time trying to help those who don't want to be helped. We're talking about rising to another level. Number one, we got to please people, serve people. Number two, don't waste your time trying to help those who don't want help. Because when you do that, you're pushing those out of your life, keeping those from entering into your life that really need your help and that really won't help. Number three, mind your own business. Mind your own business. So many of people are caught up into other people's business. They're not taking care of their own business. The Bible tells us to mind our own business. If you're going to rise to another level, if we're going to rise to another level, what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to mind our own business. Look at John 20:21. Jesus had to tell someone, mind your own business. He had to tell someone that in the word of God. They were worried, concerned about someone else's business. Jesus, so to speak, he said, mind your own business. Take care of your own business. John chapter 21. A lot of people are not going to the next level because they're not doing the things that are required to go to the next level. They're playing church. They're competing. They're not serious about the word of God. So they remain at the same level. They're not serious about going to the next level. They're playing games, competing, competition, getting off into other people's business and not taking care of your own. Look at John 21. You got to mind your own business. John 21, look at verses 20 through 22. Listen to what Jesus says. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Look at verse 22. Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? You follow me. In other words, Jesus was saying, don't worry about how I'm dealing with this man. You follow me. You mind your own business. What is it to you? You mind your own business. You follow me. You see, if we're going to rise to the next level, we're going to have to take care of our own business, mind our own business. Mind our own business. Stay out of other people's business. Mind your own business. Look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. We just saw what Jesus told that brother. Mind your own business. What is it to you? Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And that ye study to be quiet, to do your own business. See there? Take care of your own business. And to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. You see, when you take care of your own business, you're not going to lack anything. Mind your own business. Take care of your own business. Work with your own hands. And you'll come to the point where you lack nothing. We're talking about rising to another level. Number one, I said we got to be people pleasers. We got to please people, serve people, render service to people. Number two, don't waste our time trying to help those who don't want to be helped. Number three, we got to mind our own business. And number four, we got to be willing to listen. We got to be willing to listen. There's people out there that can help us get to the next level. Tell us some good things that will help us get to the next level. But if we don't listen, we're doing all the talking and no listening, we can miss out on what we need to go to the next level. Sometimes we just talk too much when we ought to be listening. We want to move to the next level. We want to rise to the next level. We're going to have to be willing to listen. Got to listen. Look at James chapter 1, verse 19. Listen to what it says. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Listen. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. Slow to wrath. See, God is saying be swift to hear. We got to be swift to listen. And slow to speak. We got to be willing to listen. God's going to bring people into your life that will help raise you up to the next level. But are you willing to listen to them? You've got to be willing to listen to them. I've had plenty of people give me information that helped me move and go to the next level because I listened to them. And I followed their instructions. I listened to them. They gave me information that changed my life and helped me go to another level. I was living in a church for 10 years, and this pastor called me on the phone and told me of some people who were good people and who they had gotten one of their houses from and that they were selling a house. And I got that information, went and spoke to the people, and we're in the house today. We're homeowners. After living in the church for 10 years, I had my ears open. I listened. I got some information that helped take me to the next level. You've got to be willing to listen, swift to listen and hear, but slow to speak. And number five, we've got to repent. I'm talking about rising to the next level. We've got to repent. That word repent means to change your mind. We've got to repent. Jesus came on the scene saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What does that mean, the kingdom of God is at hand? He says the kingdom of God is here. But in order for you to enjoy a lifestyle that the kingdom of God has, you're gonna have to what? Repent, and that means to change your mind. You're going to have to change the way you think in order to enjoy the lifestyle that the kingdom of God has for you. Jesus, he came on the scene. He says what? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is here. That's what he was saying. The kingdom of God is here. It's available to you. But in order for you to enter into the kingdom of God, you got to what? Repent. You're going to have to change the way you think. You're going to have to be transformed. That word transformed in the Greek means metamorpho. That's the Greek word metamorpho. And it means to change into another form. When you change your mind, you begin to transform and change into another person. Your whole lifestyle will change. You'll go to another level. But you're going to have to change your mind. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to change your mind, Jesus says in Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Jesus said, repent. What did he mean by repent? He says, change your mind, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I'm here, and you can enjoy all the benefits and all the blessings I have for you, but you're going to have to change your mind to enjoy all the benefits that I have for you. You're going to have to change your mind. You're going to have to repent. You're going to have to get into the word of God and retrain your mind, change your thinking. And that's the word God wanted me to speak tonight, rising to another level. To rise to another level, you got to please people. You got to serve people. Number two, don't waste your time trying to help. Mind your own business. And number four, be willing to listen. Be willing to listen. And number five, repent. Change your mind. You can't change your life until you change your mind. You can't change where you're going until you change your mind. You can't change your lifestyle until you change your mind. Change your mind. Change the way you think. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Repent. And that's the word God wanted me to speak tonight. Rising to another level.
Praise the living God. God is so good. His mercy endures forever. One thing I would say tonight, God has blessed us with his word. And now we have Pastor Irvin. Are you on?
Yes, I am. How are you doing tonight?
I'm okay, and you will praise God.
Amen, amen. Brother, I believe in what you said. You got to change our minds. We got to change the way we think, and that's no doubt about it. Praise
amen.
God. Amen, amen. You know, this message might be able to help you change your mind and get established something into our lives. That I was at a revival. It was a mission and revival thing for a couple of days. And the pastors that were getting up there, they were all talking about the different missions and stuff that they were doing and so on and so forth. And the one theme that kept coming in, it was that of God and his mercy and how he's empowered everybody and the things and the revival. And I got home and I got sitting there praying. I got talking to the Lord, and the Lord started downloading a bunch of stuff onto me. First thing he loaded down onto me was, you have to changing your mindset and everything else. You have to come to an understanding, not just who he is, but who you are. You know, revival starts in the heart. And I sat there and went to church. I went to preach the other night, and I started to preach, and I sat there and said, listen, I said, well, just a minute. I said, give me a couple of testimonies here. I said, what was the greatest revival that you ever went to, that you ever been to? And they said they were at this one or they were at that one. And they sat there and said the impartation that one had given to another and so on and so forth. And I said, that's all good, and that's all good. But the true revival started when Jesus came and he was crucified and he was resurrected and at the day of Pentecost. And that's for each and every one of us in our own lives. The day we were humbled before God and recognized God as to who he was. And then that of receiving Jesus in our lives, in our hearts, and then being filled with the Holy Spirit. That is the true revival that each and every one of us who has received Christ and understood his mercy and his grace, that is the greatest revival that any man could ever attend. That in itself speaks volumes into people's lives. That is probably one of the greatest things that man has ever done. It was receiving Christ. Then upon receiving Christ, God sat there and he started telling me some other things. He was told me, he sat there and he says, he says, I'm here. He sat there and he says, well, let me put it this way. We all understand and we all come to the same conclusion that God the Father created everything. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And also that with Jesus, but through the shedding of his blood, he bought and paid for us, right?
Yes.
And that under the Holy Spirit. Now, just for confirmation under this, God the Father is holy. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus is holy. And, of course, the Holy Spirit in itself, his name is holy. Now, everything that we stand upon, everything that we stand in, and everything we stand in Christ is holy. You think about it this way, in these terms. Jesus shed his blood on Calvary and bought us. And so everything that Jesus, that God the Father gave unto Jesus, Jesus gave unto us. So no matter what we touch, no matter where we stand, no matter where we live and what we have, we are holy. We are made holy through the blood of Christ. We are made holy, and that doesn't make any difference. Our homes are made holy. The land that we stand upon, that God sent us out to possess, no matter where we're standing, is made holy.
Amen.
Your
Amen.
Wife is holy.
Mm-hmm.
Your husband is holy.
Mm-hmm.
Your children is holy. Your home, your business, and the place that you work is holy. It makes no difference where you're at. If you're in Christ, and Christ is in you, you stand on holy ground, and everything that you possess is holy.
Amen.
Because whatever God possesses is holy. And whatever God has given, whatever Jesus possesses is holy. If that doesn't change your mind, if that doesn't stir something into you, the revival, the understanding who you are, you are holy. I have sat and pondered on a lot of different things in the last few days and thinking about all the things that we misplaced, that we set under, and we've done other things and can't figure out in understanding what it is, why this, why that, why this, why that. We forget that what God had set a precedence, the day of Calvary and the resurrection of Christ and the day of Pentecost in our lives. It didn't, for each one of us, it was 2,000 years ago, but also I know that it happens every day in someone's life. And we need to turn back. We need to turn back to that day of Pentecost. We need to turn back to that day of resurrection in our lives, and we need to turn back and acknowledge the fact that Christ is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that everything he possesses, that is us, that he has made holy, he is purified. You know, last week I talked about, when I was talking about the young men that were up in Odessa, and I was talking to them and about they were dealing with the spirits, and they were allowing the spirits to roam in their house, and about the young spirit that kept coming up and saying, "Tell my mommy I died here." And the church that they were going to says, "Well, give them a candle so they find the light so they can go home." And as I kept on listening to them, I kept on saying, "This is wrong, this is wrong." And it dawned on me what it was. These demon spirits were playing these guys, this young man, because they knew that this young man loved children. And eventually at some point, because that demon kept coming back and say, "Give me a light so I can go home." The light he wanted was the light that Christ had placed in you, the candle that God had lit in your heart. That's the light that demon wanted. And there's many out there today that are still playing with those demons. There's trouble in their homes. There's trouble in their marriages because they've been listening to the wrong spirit. They haven't been listening to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that is placed in them. They have stepped away from the Word of God. They have stepped aside and started listening to doubt, to fear, to anxiety. They sit there, and if you are sit there trying to compete in your marriage, to establish something in your marriage and competing, then you're out of order. Because God has established the boundaries in marriage. Because, like I said, your wife is holy, your husband is holy, you're in holy matrimony, and everything that is there is holy, unto God. And if you're allowing these distractions into your marriage and into your lives, that you have stepped away from the presence of God. And God wants you to return to that presence. He wants you to return back to Him. And it doesn't make any difference if it's in your business. It makes no difference if it's in where your place of work. I don't care if it's in your church. It makes no difference where you're at. If you're listening to other spirits than the Word of God, and listening to other spirits than the Holy Spirit, then you need to cast those spirits out now and turn back to the living Word of God. Go back to the day of Pentecost in your life. Go back to the resurrection when you first realized and recognized and received Jesus. The day you humbled yourself before God to recognize that there is a true God in heaven. God is calling us back. He's calling us back now. He's calling us back because the days are short. And I'm telling you that you can't proceed and have that the glory what God has for you here on earth. Because it is heaven on earth. If you're listening to spirits other than the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is that small, still voice. It's that whisper. A morality of knowing right and wrong. God has placed that in your heart before the day you were born. That He filled you and He had all that knowledge in you. And it needs to be awakened in you so it will come out of you so you can have a life that Christ, that God had wanted you to have in the beginning. We need to sit there and understand who we are. And once we begin to understand who we are, and we can walk in that righteousness, and we can start to fulfill the promise of God, and we can sit there and walk, and others will follow because they will see Christ in us, and they will want that. And they want to know and understand what it is that makes you different, what it is that brings you to that point. And you tell them there's a salvation in Jesus. Even myself, I know of my own brothers, because I was bad. I mean, I was probably the worst of the worst. And they even looked at me one day, and as healthy as I am, praise God. Thank you, Lord. My sister-in-law sits there and says, you know, says, you are the worst of all of us. He says, yet you're the healthiest. How is that? And I says, because it's God. God restores our soul. He restores our lives. He restores our health. And He restores our body. But in truth is, He doesn't restore that which is broken. He makes it new. Because if He was to restore that was broken, why would He restore something that was broken to bring you to the point of being broken? What He does is establishes something new in your life. And that's when we humble ourselves before God into the understanding and the knowledge of who He is and what He is and who He is for us and what He is for us and why He came to the Calvary, why He came to earth. Because He had to restore what was taken away in deception of Satan. We know that Satan stands before God in the throne, and Satan can go in and out of the churches, And we know that the demons can sit there and do, and the same thing they're trying to do is destroy God's creation, the God's creation in you and me and everyone else. And if you continue to listen to those demons, we continue to listen to those negative thoughts, and we continue to sit there and ponder on things that are not of God, then they're destroying the very thing that God had placed in your life on the day of Calvary, the day of resurrection, and the day of Pentecost. We need to understand that we are holy. We are made of God. We are for God. And that we walk in the presence of the Lord. And we need to stand and focus on that and that alone. So we can have the peace and the love and joy of Christ in us. So we can share it with the world. To bring those others to the cross. So that they can recognize the fact that there is a true God. That they can sit there themselves, can sit there and share in the resurrection of Christ, and that of receiving of the Holy Spirit, the salvation. We got to understand. We should be jumping for joy. We should be on trumpets and blowing horns and understanding and saying and knowing that God has made us holy. That he's made our footsteps holy. He made the land that we stand upon holy. He made our lives holy. He made our families holy. He's made our churches. He has made your business, your car, everything that you possess holy because you are holy unto him and what he's given is holy and of his holiness. We should be jumping for joy. Instead of sit there and say, oh, Lord, why this? Why me? What's up this way? Why? God, Lord, how? Because you misstepped. You stepped away from the presence of God and not recognizing and understanding the fact that God has made you perfect through the blood of Jesus. That he does not look at your flesh anymore, but he looked at the blood of Jesus. That has washed you. You can say God took you to the cleaners. There are times when I sit there and I've gone to prayer meetings and I've listened to people say, oh, Lord, I'm not worthy. I want to slap them and say, shut up, you are worthy. Jesus died on the cross for you because you're worthy. But I'm just wretched rags, Lord, I'm wretched rags. How can you be a wretched rag if that God with his own blood sit there and washed you and cleansed you and put a royal robe upon you? How in the world can you sit there and stand before him and say, you're a wretched rag? You're holy. You're made holy through the blood of Jesus. We need to understand that. We need to be able to shout that from the pulpits, from the car tops, from the rooftops. It makes no difference where we stand. We need to begin to shout it and the world to hear, whether they will agree with us or not. If we put that in our hearts and our minds and get to wrap our minds around the understanding what I'm saying to you, and I'm not bragging for my own self-righteousness or nothing else, this is true. This is what I am speaking to you is truth. God gave us through the blood of Jesus the right and that's the kingdom of heaven for our taking. I have a short message, and that's basically what I have, brothers and sisters. But we need to be able to understand what I'm trying to say to you, and that you can wrap your heart around it and just meditate on it for a little bit. Because God...
Amen. But you know, the word of God is always long and short. What God has done for you tonight, God has brought us to a point where we got to see things as being holy because He is holy. We need to act as He is holy. And one thing that I would say tonight as we come to the other part of this program, God is so good until His mercy endures forever. But you know, many times we see things the way we want to see it and see it the way God said it would be. When God said, I am that I am, He meant just that. We have to see it God's way when we come into the knowledge of Him. And that's why it's so important that, as the apostle said, we have to step up. We've got to step up. We've got to move up. We've got to walk up. We've got to pray up. We've got to believe up. We've got to see up. We can put the youth here. Always we've got to do up, up, up. Up, up, and away. Because when Jesus comes back, He's coming back for His bride.
Amen.
And when He comes back, I pray we be dressed. My God, I pray you be blessed. And you know one thing I would say before, I pray that the young lady is supposed to be on the radio station with us tonight. She said 8:30, so we got 7 minutes. But if anybody have any words they want to encourage me, you, or somebody out there listening, you have that privilege now. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, gentlemen. I am just so thankful to God that you all have been on tonight, first starting with Dr. Newsom and then with this great, great intro into what true revival is. That's what I've been trying to teach people. Everybody be calling about have a revival, have a revival. They don't understand that the revival, you know, it's in the New Testament. I don't even think the word is even mentioned in the New Testament. It is mentioned in the Old Testament, but it is receiving Jesus Christ. That is the revival. So
amen.
Amen. Understanding who is in us. That the mic, as you just quoted, you know, you just we thank you. We can't pound on that enough to let the world know, because see, we understand that there's millions of Catholics and millions of Muslims and millions of Buddhists and Hindus, but they don't understand is that our God is inside of us and has made us righteous and made us holy. And that is worlds and worlds of difference. You know?
No,
that
we... Jesus. Hey. Oh, Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Oh, my God. See, we're going to get the revival started again. Well, see,
yes,
one thing, I like what you said, aid, love, is this. The revival starts in your heart.
That's right. It starts in the heart of man, and then from there, it all it can do is grow. You know, but we got to be careful, because
amen.
Like I said, the devil comes in to kill, steal, and destroy. So sometimes the people will hear the word, and then they'll get up and they'll walk right into a closed door, or a door slammed in their face, or stubbed their toe, and then Satan's got them all over again, and because they're just like the parable with the sower, you know, some is sown on good ground, some is sown on stony ground, and so on and so forth, you know. But the thing is to keep encouraging them and staying in the Word and believing and trusting. But the thing, like I said, we need to know and understand that Satan is out to destroy God's creation. He started with Adam and Eve, and he is not going to stop until he completes what he wants to do. But in the end, we win if we stay in the Word and we stay in understanding that we are holy. And when I'm going to say this, and you need to be able to take this and be able to listen to this, what I got to say right now, because it's the most important thing about your salvation and about that of being in Christ, is that you need to understand this. Praise God.
Amen.
That
Satan
cannot have or be a partaker in anything that is holy. In other words, he can't have any part of your life. He can't have any part of your business. He cannot have any part of your children, your husband, your wife. He can't have part of your home. He cannot have part of the very ground that you stand upon, because God declared it as holy in you, and what you possess and what he possesses is holy, and that you have to hold on to. And Satan cannot have or be a partaker in any of it. You just tell him he has to run along.
And you know what, my brother, as I just was with my Bible looking for a scripture, and it came to my attention out of 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verses 21 through 22. And this moved. And they helped David against the band of raiders, for they were almighty men of valor, and they were captains in the army. For at that time they came to David day by day, and helped him till it was a great army, like the army of God. That's what the revival is about. We come to where God gets to many people day by day. We come into the fullness of what God would have us to do. We become like the army of God. We are the army of God in the earth realm. Because we
Amen.
Got to preach it. We got to teach it. We got to live it. We got to let it be known. There's no God like our God. Now, you know, I'll ask everybody, pause, pray for the both parties in the United States of America. Pray that every governor, every mayor, every councilman, even those on the East Coast, that they will come to know Jesus Christ. Because the Bible tells you and I, everyone must give an account. And we don't want to miss nobody. We don't want to miss nobody. I don't care if you have
Amen.
The highest rank in the United States of America. You're the president. The highest office. You sit in both houses of council and the United States Army. Or you sit on the Supreme Court. You still got to answer for God.
Amen.
We got to pray for them. We got to believe God can use them. Sometimes decisions we make is somebody make that decision for them. All they do is transpose. When I say transpose, you think somebody wrote for them, flip it over, and they make it, oh, I wrote this here. And then we got to stand firm with God. So I know that I know, and you know that we know. Now, I've listened to a young lady. I'm going to give them a time. Are you there, young lady? Miss Burden? Are you there? Let's see this person now. Hold on. Y'all hold on. Praise God. Hello?
Hello. Hi, this is Kristen Hawkins.
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Well, I mean, we've been waiting on you to come on the radio station, and we finally got you on, okay?
Yes,
Amen.
Yes, I'm so glad. How
Amen.
Are you doing, Reverend?
Amen. Well, tell us who you are, what your desire is, so we got a couple of questions we got for you, and we are believing radio station. Go ahead.
Okay, my name's Kristen Hawkins, and I'm an attorney here in Houston, Texas, and I am running for judge. So I was, I've been out campaigning hard and talking to a whole bunch of people and visiting a bunch of churches and getting to know a whole bunch of people on my trip, on my journey.
Okay. And, well, now, what seat are you running for?
11th District Court in Harris County. So it's a civil bench, and I would hear everything from dog bite cases to car wrecks to contract disputes to property taxes to all sorts of good things.
All right. Anybody got any questions they want to ask her? Go ahead.
You know, on everything that is going on in the, I know this is a little out of your jurisdiction, but just like to have a little something known that we're seeing all the stuff that's going on in the way the world is turning out, and standing in your judgment, are you standing in faith, or is it that you're going to have to go with that? Would it be with, say, the common laws of the nation?
Well, as a judge, you have to follow the law, but, you know,
I understand that.
I do believe, and I rely on that to give me strength and to give me guidance. But, you know, I do have to follow the law, and I need the Lord to give me the strength to do that and to do what's right and to do what's just.
So it's judge, the precinct, what's that number? Write it down again.
11th District Court. It's in Harris County, so it's for the whole county.
Okay, so in other words, the whole state of Harris County comes under your jurisdiction when it comes down to certain positions like this. It's a dog,
yes.
It's a cat, it's a mouse. Uh-huh.
Yeah, or neighbors getting into a fight, you know, somebody put the fence on the wrong place, you know, that kind of stuff. All that stuff comes in there. So businesses get into a fight, you know, they all come to court.
Now, have they voted to have what number you be on the ballot?
I'll be number one in my race.
All right, you'll be number one.
Number
one. Number one on the ballot. So I know we got a vote that's coming, what, Wednesday on the 1st in February?
March 1st. March 1st.
March 1st. March 1st.
Yeah.
Well, I know this much. Now, I know you have a right to live in Harris County. Do you live in Galveston?
Nope. I live in Houston.
Okay. Well, that's one thing I always ask somebody running for a position. If you want my vote, I want to know where you live at. If you don't live in the district, you ain't got my vote. But since you got Harris County, I believe that we can do what they have to do. Now,
yeah.
Yes, ma'am. One of the things I would say to Princess, they love, do you have a question?
Yeah, I was going to ask, how long have you been an attorney?
16 years.
Wow, you sound so young. Praise God.
Thank you. No, I've been practicing for 16 years, and these last 5 years I've been a part-time judge.
Okay.
So one of the things I've been doing is I've been listening to people who weren't able to pay their property taxes, and you know what I discovered was so important to them was not whether they could or couldn't pay, but whether they got to come into court and talk about what happened to them and tell their story. You know, and that's one of the things that, you know, I really treasured about my job was that I was able to listen and to let them have their voice and to let them be part of the system. And that's one thing that, you know, really inspired me to run is that I want to keep doing that. I want to keep letting people be able to tell their stories and be part of the judicial system.
Good.
So I've been doing that for 5 years.
Very good. Very good. Ah, see that. Wow, we're so happy to have you on tonight, and we're wishing and praying that you have much success in this office as a civil judge. A civil judge.
Yes.
Of course, civil stands out, you know, like you say. I mean, it's very civil is super important.
It is. It covers a whole lot of things, you know. And,
yes.
And when people need to come and like I said, if they can't get along with their neighbors, that's where they go.
Amen.
You know, and that's they need a place to be able to come and tell their story.
Now I'm gonna ask you a question, Judge.
Yeah.
Okay.
You may.
Say, oh, glory. I need your permission. But say, for example, a person has some property that he owns, and then the person next door on their property, and you got it marked out by what they say on the property line. This person puts this post on the property for over 40 years. Does that person have a right to own that part of property that's still owned to the original owner?
Well, that's something you have to look at, Phil. You have to look at the facts of each case. I mean, if they had a case, they might. It sounds like they might, but I wouldn't know until I looked at all the facts. It depends what they were doing.
Yeah, I just thought of that in my mind. Thought of that in my mind.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's something that they might, but we'd have to. I wouldn't want to judge that until it came to my court.
Okay, that's a good answer. That's a good answer. Now, one person told me for the last 40 years, do you know your bar number?
I do know my bar number. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
It's 240-12326. I know
all
my
right.
bar number.
Because they said, if you don't know your bar number, it was a judge when I used to work for the city. He said, when an attorney don't know his bar number, the judge said, you don't belong in my court.
I can tell you, I don't know my driver's license number, but I know my bar number.
Well, I know I'm going to have you back on more than one time, but I want to make for sure I'm going to have you back. In Harris County, that you can't say,
look,
anybody else got any questions
on that? Oh, the devil is trying to mess with the lines.
Yeah, I see that.
I'm going to put everybody on hold, so with you there.
That's good.
All right. Are you still at Judge?
I am.
See, what I'm doing, so we have a blog talk radio, and we go on, and it goes around the world. So we get an opportunity to let everybody know. We get an opportunity to let everybody know. Everybody know what's happening in Houston, Texas. And I know that you know a lot of folks that are running for the office, some of your former people you know, but we're looking at you as a judge, and we want
well,
to see you.
Well, thank you.
And if you get in office, I know you're going to help somebody because I hear your heart, and you say that the first thing that you want to do is you want to see, when I ask you about that question about the prophet, I have to first see what happened. And that's
yeah.
one thing I like. You have to see what happened. And I know that there are many things in Houston, and right now Houston is going so fast. I had the opportunity, Judge, to ride around Houston today and just look at it. It's so many buildings being built in Houston, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
My God.
So
I,
much
I
changed.
You're absolutely right. And see, I think we have about 4.5 million people. And there's study coming in here. There's study coming in.
Yes.
And so
we're growing. We're growing fast.
Are they going to have to increase your court or let your court stay small?
We'll have to see. There's no plans to increase it right now, but we'll have to see.
Uh-huh. What do you think about this Judge Emmett? Judge Emmett, do you know him?
I do know him. I don't know him very well, but I do know him.
Okay. Well,
I think, you know, he's... Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm listening to you now.
Oh, I was going to say, I think he's got some... he's a very reasonable and deliberate man, and I think that he has made some good decisions as far as, you know, who he's put in L. Franco Lee's seat right now. He put Gene Locke in there, and I think that was a good decision. And I think, you know, he's got some ideas as far as taking care of the people who need health care. He really wants to make sure that people really get the medicine that they need. So I think he's got some good ideas as far as that's concerned.
Amen. Well, you know, you my kind of judge. I can say, judge, I need to talk to you. I like that. I love it. Now, I'm not going to come down to your court and ball in there and say, I need to talk to you. No.
Yeah.
I will call. I'm telling you on the line. And I want you to know that what can we do to help you to get elected besides being on the radio?
Getting the word out is the best thing, and getting people out to the polls. You know, everybody needs to remember that we vote, and although it's real fun to vote for the president, the people who are right here in the county and right here in the city have a lot of impact on our daily lives. So we just need to make sure that they vote in the local elections and that they take the time to do that instead of, you know, saying that those don't matter, because those are the people who live here with you in your community, they're part of your community, and they know what you're going through in your community. So those are the people that are real important to elect. Not that the president's not important, but he doesn't live here. And he doesn't share our concerns. I mean, he doesn't drive down those same streets with the potholes and, you know, deal with the same issues that we do on a daily basis.
Well, you know,
so
what?
I think it's real important to get them out to vote.
Amen. So I know you have all of the social media. So I have a Facebook. And anytime you put something on my Facebook, put it on there. It's WillieHunter.2.
Okay,
and
I will do that.
And do that. And we just, because I always say, I keep praying, and I want to see. We were able to help in the election, the past election. We were able to have our desires met, and we want to see our desires met in you also. And does anybody have any questions? Pastor, you got a question you want to ask again? Okay. Well, let me say it back this way. I want you to come back on every – I got your number here. I'll call you, let you know. I'm going to give you a whole hour. And I'm gonna put it on the. I'm gonna send out the 5,000 emails that I have to everybody knows that we're gonna support, and we want to see what we can do to help you.
I appreciate Amen. That.
Amen.
And all I say.
Amen.
All I say to you, Judge, is if I come to the door, please don't close it on me.
No, we can't close the door on any of our people.
Amen.
Yes, amen. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you a Catholic? You're a Lutheran?
I am Catholic.
Oh.
Actually, you got it right the first time. I am Catholic, yes.
Wow.
Yes. Well, no. Okay, so say, look, if you got a question you want to say to us? Well, I want to say this to you, Judge. We spent some time with you. I want to put your number down, and I'm gonna send you. My email is WillieJHunter@yahoo.com. WillieJHunter@yahoo.com. And just let me know whatever it is I can do for you on this radio station, and in the media, since you're gonna be down there. And I know that we live in a time where we have. They call the RACE. We got to see it as what it is. And as I told a man once before, see, I was John Osteen's bodyguard for 20 years before he went home to be with the Lord. I learned so much from John Osteen in the body of Christ. And also, I thank God for you Catholics, because I met a bishop there years ago. God had put such an anointing on him. He'd take that water that he had, as he passed by, he would put it on people. People just fall over just like that. So we live in that time. You can live in that time. But I'm going to give you the last few words to say before we close the program out.
Oh, for me? I was listening to you. I was so I love that story. So I was just listening. You know, we live in a time where people don't trust their judicial system, and they feel left out and they feel like you said the door is closed on them. And we need to change that. We need to have people believe in their justice system and believe that they're part of it and feel part of it and feel like they are included and the doors are open. And the doors are open to them and that they can come down there and that they can be part of it. So that's why I'm running, because I want to make sure that people feel included and that they feel like it's their justice system and that they know what's going on and don't feel left out. So that's what we need to do. We need to elect people who will do that and people who will keep that in mind. And that's why I'm running.
Okay. Well, I want you to notice that for the next 21 days, we're going to keep your name on our Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, because we got to let the people know. And like I said, when I give you my word, I give it to you. Amen?
Okay. Amen.
All right, Father, and we thank you for the radio program. And thank you for this judge. Pray that you will let her go to a place that she can be just like it was with Deborah. She can be like it was with Ruth. She can be like the women of the Bible. That she can do her job. And let them not look on her because she's a woman, but look on her because she's a judge. Thank you, Father. So, everybody, I want to say good night to you and God bless you until we come again. And I will send you email and your address, and I will talk with you later. Is that okay, Judge?
That sounds wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you,
Christian.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.